Feels like the first one.
Good to hear, bro.
Is it newsletter class?
Yeah.
Is the internet down?
Yeah, the phones are down and the internet's down.
Huh?
The phones and the internet are down.
Party.
Go out for a bake?
Don't mind if we do.
Go to Vegas, kids.
Well, because I got home and I got a phone call for a game. For a second.
Don't mind if we do.
Are you guys ready, Mr. Buckner?
I don't know. We're not quite ready.
Old man Buckner is what I like to call him now.
Let's go to Luke 17. To me, the idea of what is called dispensationalism, meaning that God acts differently at different times, is the most damnable of all the heresies. And I want to explain that in relationship to Pentecost. What? Something bothered you that I just said? No.
Talking time stuff here. Perking up.
We talked about yesterday how at every point, even from before the foundation of the world, it was the same message. There was never any change. And the reason that it appeared to have He appeared to act differently was because of his grace. He was always giving the people a chance. So we started with the first Adam and Eve, and you know, he warned them and gave them every chance, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it happened with Cain. Cain's sacrifice wasn't accepted. His countenance fell, and he ignored the words of God. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not the sin offering lieth at the door? And that same thing is repeated throughout all of time. It's the same message, the same exact way of working. That's why the book of Revelation exists. It's not Revelations. It's the book of revelation of Jesus Christ. And so it's his revelation throughout every moment of time. And the reason we get into all these harebrained ideas is because we don't see that. We think in time. And Jesus spoke to this. And what happens when you think in time, it means you're waiting for your Pentecost. You're waiting for something else to happen, so that you can really pay attention to God. And you got little charts, and you know, it's happened even at the time of Christ, as we'll see. So in Luke 17.
Would it be fair to say that God through Christ came into time to pull people out of time? I mean, he wasn't manifest.
No, he didn't pull people out of time, because people can't leave time because they are of the flesh. He came to create a new race. His own right arm, his own Zeruah, has gotten him the victory. The only Zeruah, or seed of God, is Jesus Christ. That's why he is the only begotten of the Father. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. He alone has immortality. All right. And verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You can't ever see it. Now, Peter said the same thing. He said, "All things continue in the same way as they were from the beginning, but your eyes are blinded." Can everybody accept that for a minute? Anybody have any questions about it? It has nothing to do with the mystery of God. It's been complete since before the foundation of the world. It has to do with the rebellion caused by the fall. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall I say, "Lo here," or "Lo there." For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, or in you. It never changed. And he said unto his disciples, "The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.'" In other words, go here for the anointing, or go there for the anointing.
When he says, "The day will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man," is he saying, "You will want to see me, you will want to see me in time and space, you will want to see evidence of me, you will want proof, you will blah, 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 blah"?
Right.
Is that what he's saying?
Yes. He's saying, remember,
you're not going to get
it. Where is the evidence of his presence? Scoffers shall come in the last days, saying, "Where is the evidence of his presence?" That is continued. It never stops.
And he says here, you're not going to get it.
Right. That's why the greatest heresy that was with the Cerinthian heresy in the first century church, Cerinthus taught two things. He taught, number one, that the purpose of the incarnation of the Son of God and his suffering and death and resurrection was so that you could have health and wealth. But the second part of it is even more important. He taught that Jesus Christ would return to earth and set up a physical kingdom on earth. Now those two heresies are called the Cerinthian heresy. I challenge you to watch or listen to any radio or television preacher, and every one of them that I've heard has been seduced into the Cerinthian heresy. Go back to the original, the manual of discipleship, the Didache. It says simply, "If any man comes to you in the name of God asking for money, shun him, he's a false prophet." It's so simple.
I'm sitting here, a man with a brain and a mind and eyes and ears and everything, all my sensory are intact, and this is information that those receptors can't process.
That's because it can't go through those receptors. Those receptors are the snake. Yeah.
They're the enemy.
Yeah.
They're the only enemy of God in the entire universe.
And without abandonment or denial of
without your death,
my death, then I will create or join the Cerinthian heresy.
You will do it automatically. Yeah. It's so natural as you breathe.
That's right. And I'll think I'm doing the damn right good thing.
That's right. And if somebody denies that in your face and challenge it, they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. This isn't light. This is the meaning of Pentecost.
John?
Huh?
This is what is. I mean, this is what we live in.
And again, in verse 22, "And he said unto the disciples, 'The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it.' They want to see Christ as Son of Man so that he can do tricks for them. The only reason that he did all those tricks wasn't to heal everybody or to raise everybody from the dead. It was so the Father could prove to him that he had the potential to do it. And so then the test is always a line of something you know you possess. Once he knew he possessed it, then he had to let it go. He had to empty it. As opposed to modern Christianity, well, are we going to get hold of this and we're going to get hold of that and then I'll start a healing ministry or then I'll be a prophet or any other bullshit. This is going deep in you, isn't it? And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth, that lightning... that's a hard word to say. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. That's what happened on Pentecost. All flesh saw the salvation of God. They didn't see it as they with their eyes, but they see it in the same way the scriptures say that all flesh shall see death. So everything in the scripture is about being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of it isn't, oh, now I have a renewed mind because I've said so. The renewing of your mind is the only thing you can do is 100% empty at every second, at every nanosecond. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now remember, up until the day of Noah, there had never been rain on earth. The clouds covered the entire earth, and it was watered and fed by the dew, not by rain. And the idolatry and fornication and even relationships with the spirit world had created such a mess that the flood came and he chose one family and saved 8 souls, and it started to rain. A flood was going to come. They'd never seen a flood. A rain was going to come. They'd never seen a rain. Just as you've never seen eternity.
They didn't know that the thing that was going to destroy them was hanging over their heads all the time. It was surrounding them all the time. They were walking in it all the time. It was under their feet all the time. They had no idea, and it took no effort whatsoever for God to let the heavens fall and come up through the earth and drown everybody.
Yeah, and
there's
and
a picture there.
And again,
he was just holding it back.
Christ is the type. The ark was the type of Christ. And that's why we must enter that ark and close the door. Otherwise, you will constantly, constantly be deceived. Can you imagine? It's estimated there were 25 million people on earth at the time of Noah. And 8 made it. And they only made it, not because they did anything right, but because Noah happened to be one who understood what rest meant, and only he understood faith. He saw Jesus. And so, can you imagine, as the rains were starting, and all the people that were around Noah had heard of what he was doing, and they mocked him and made fun of him, and some wanted to kill him. And then the rain started. They'd never seen it before. And this masses of people would come and rush the ark, begging to be let in. And it couldn't happen because God had sealed the door. And this is what the fear of God means. The only question is, are you in the ark? Is he in you? If you don't know that, then don't give sleep to your eyelids or rest for your head until you find out the habitation for the Holy One of Israel. If you don't know that, then you're just bouncing around as one of the mixed multitudes.
It's the same as making it into the Passover Seder, closing the door.
They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, and anyway, go on and on. Do you understand this? A little bit. Do you understand why this means, this is what it means, the fear of God? The fear of God is that you must be as you've seen the drug addicts in our community all these years. That to them, taking that next puff of marijuana or the next shot of crack, was they had to see to them that was death. Well, by the same way, you have to see that that's the only reason they're like that is so you can see how you are addicted to yourself. And the fear of God is the only thing that will keep you from being addicted to self, because you're hardwired to be addicted to self, and it just is getting really old. What? No, you laughed. What? Gary? Why did you laugh? No, you didn't. Why did you laugh?
I can't divulge her
secrets. Why did you laugh?
Because I understand.
All right. Now, again, this is where the dispensationalists say the rapture is coming. Again, in verse 31, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Now Lot's wife, it wasn't because she turned back and looked at Sodom. It was because she turned back and looked longingly. Sodom was equal to the Garden of Eden in beauty, because it was well watered by the River Jordan. And when that happened, when that event took place, it dammed the water and created the Dead Sea. And everything below that is some of the worst places on earth now. It's interesting that, anyway. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men, or two in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Hallelujah. I mean, it's like we dance around this. And we think we're learning something. And oh, isn't that cute? And that's what Isaiah said. I mean, Ezekiel. They come to you because they what does it say? Go to Ezekiel 33. Go get Ezekiel 33.
31.
I know, Harry.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Did you say Ezekiel 2?
33. No, here. Do you have your phone? Call. Oh.
She's mobile.
Does anybody have their cell phone on? Ezekiel 33, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, they that inhabit those wastes of the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. But we are many. The land is given us for an inheritance. Wherefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, You eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and shed blood, and you possess the land. You stand upon your sword, you work abomination, and you defile every one of his neighbor's wife, and you shall possess the land. Say thou thus unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, As I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be in the forts and in the cave shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease. And the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, and none shall ever pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate, because of all their abominations which they have committed. And also, son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, I say, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, if you are still speaking nice words to soothe the idolatry that is rampant around you, if you are still solving issues by psychobabble and opinions, then be very, very careful. Because this is the warning, and it's not. It's anybody that is speaking in the name of God better be saying this. All right, go to Hebrews chapter.
Before we go, that last verse in Luke that you read, where the body is.
There the eagles gather.
You said hallelujah, but I didn't understand that.
There can be no snakes where the eagles are. Right, they don't even speak about their mind or their opinions, or because where the eagles are, there, or the body is, there the eagles gather, and where the eagles gather, there are no snakes. No. Instead of Christ's.
What's the body part of it?
The people. The satyr, the minion.
Okay.
All right, Hebrews 2, I think. We got nowhere near where I wanted to get this morning. Big surprise. Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. It's talking about what man is. Let's go in verse 6. But in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now what this means is, God has declared that everything in the universe is exactly perfect. Exactly. Every issue of life that exists in the universe is exactly perfect from God's standpoint. And what's your response to that? Well, if you see something you don't like, you want to change it. All of us do. If we see this, we want to do that, and then we got to do this about that, and it's never ending. So we don't. We can say that we see that all things are put under him, but we don't live it because our minds have always got another thing coming. And so the point of it is, we see not yet all things put under him. But we don't look at the problem, we see Jesus. And what does that mean? It means that's where faith comes in. Faith is to hear under. So no matter what circumstances you're in, no matter what the issues are of life are, no matter how complex, no matter how weird, you never give him any breath because you just see him. Because then you will see he is all and in all. There is no place that he isn't. And if he is there, it must be perfect. Now that's the meaning of Pentecost. But are you going to be like those in the days of Noah or the days of Lot and run around like a chicken with your head cut off, thinking you got all these things to do and issues to do, take care of and things to solve? You must be about your Father's business. And the word business there means meet need. That's why the poor, that's why the needy are among us, to see whether or not you love the Father more than you love yourself. We'll continue on this tomorrow. Joysanna is here. I don't dare go overtime. She will wrongly accuse me of not having any rollover minutes.
Well, you get credit for the interruption.
It was her fault.
Right, that's why you get a credit for her.
Anybody have any response to any of this? So everybody understands perfectly. By your silence is a witness against you. You can't escape this. So how long is it going to take for you to have to go up to the mountains and brew your witch's brew? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? An hour? Don't ever come back to me and tell me you forgot.
I personally don't live in time, so.
What? Somebody said something.
I said, are you predicting that will happen?
I'm praying that it doesn't. Take a big guy.